Time Radio, all sports, all the time.
Edition of Sports Time Radio, and we're 30 minutes early because, well, you know why. Dan is at the Bears game, so Schomburg Stu has graciously agreed to fill in. There you go. I got it out anyways.
All right.
How are you,
here.
Stu?
I'm sure that Dan's going to enjoy that great game tonight.
Once he found out that Tyler Bray was playing the entire game, he actually thought about not going because he got the tickets for free from his uncle, who's a season ticket holder. So it was kind of like, yeah, here's your gift. You get to see Tyler Bray play four quarters of football.
I'm sure there'll be about 17,000 no-shows tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, who's, you know, Thursday night, the last preseason game, you know, the only jobs on the line are at the bottom of the roster. So, you know, who's going to this? You know, but that's part of life in the NFL, I guess. So that's what we deal with.
Yeah.
But you know, I did notice that it seems like every time you come on, the Cubs make some kind of trade. Did you see what they ended up doing today?
No. This is the first I've heard about it. So.
Yeah, they shift off your guy Chris Jimenez. He is headed to Minnesota for catcher Bobby Wilson, who interestingly enough is actually on the disabled list with an ankle injury. So yeah, Jimenez's Cub career didn't last too long, and he's headed back to Minnesota.
Why would they pick up a catcher with who's on a disabled list though?
Well, he's due back very soon. You know, I think he'll be back. And, you know, what this does is it pushes him back past the September 1st date. So when he comes off, they don't have to worry about shifting anything around to just add him to the roster. You know, all they had to do was make a move to put him on the 40-man. And I think they designated that Corey Mazzoni, I believe it is, the relief pitcher.
Yes.
So
DFA,
that's,
huh?
You know, they had to make. I did see where the Twins are also going to get the dreaded player to be named later or cash as part of this deal as well. So my guess is there'll just be some cash headed Minnesota's way, probably enough to cover the rest of him and as a salary for the year. So.
Well, I know nothing about Bobby Wilson, so why don't you fill us all in on how old he is and what his stats are?
Yeah, the best way to describe him is he is a solid defensive catcher who just doesn't hit a lot. He is 35. Let's see. He broke in 2008 with the Angels. He spent a short period of time with the Diamondbacks. He's been with the Rays, the Rangers, the Tigers, the Twins, and now, of course, the Cubs. With the Twins this year, he was hitting a robust 178 in 47 games. He does have two home in RBIs.
Yeah.
But more importantly, let's see if I can find it here. More importantly, he's throwing out 30% of runners trying to steal against him.
No, that's not too bad.
But yeah, he's always been considered a defensive guy. That's what he is. He's never been a fantastic hitter. Let's see what is. He hit .291 with Texas 1 year, but he only played in 31 games. He hit seven home runs combined in 2016. So there's not a lot, you know, not a lot with the bat. And no surprise, he's only signed through the end of this year. So it's not like they're going to keep him on. I think he's more insurance than anything else. And I know you've been, you know, really disappointed with the way Caratini has played.
Yes,
so this gives him a little, there behind those two guys. And, you know, it also gives them the opportunity if they want, you know, I know a lot of teams in that first round of the playoffs like to carry a third catcher so they can pinch hit one of the guys. And this would give them the option to do that. I don't know if I see that happening with the Cubs roster, but, you know, again, it gives them the option to do it. And, you know, coming down the stretch, it'll take a little stress off of, you know, Wilson Contreras, who's not having
sure.
a fantastic year himself. You know, his
no.
power numbers are way
no.
down. You
well,
know, you can
you
run
see,
Wilson.
Yeah, by the way, did you see who volunteered to be an emergency catcher should the need arise for the Cubs?
It should be Kyle Schwarber, shouldn't it?
No, someone else just volunteered the other day. You didn't see that. It was David
no.
Bodie. David Bodie said he
Oh, yeah. You know, I actually heard that on one of his earlier call-ups. He was
yeah.
joking around about just trying to learn how to catch. He figured, what the heck. So.
Has he played first base for the Cubs at all this year? I know he's played all the other infield positions, but someone said he played all four of them. I don't remember him playing first base, though.
You know, if he did, it was only for a short stint. Let me see if I can find his defensive stats here real quick and see if they've got him listed at first base. So that one ain't gonna help me. Let's see. But yeah, I don't remember. You know, like I said, I don't remember
no.
him playing first. Yeah, they actually do have him listed at first. Let me see. He played he actually appeared at first base in two games and played two innings there. So I'm guessing
wow.
an inning in each game.
Yeah, yeah. That I don't remember that happening myself, but I guess they were accurate when they said that he has played all four infield positions.
So, yeah, one full game at shortstop, nine innings, three starts at second. He's played there a total of six games. 28 starts at third, but he's played over there in a 37 games total. So that's where he's at.
He's a pretty solid infielder. I think he's only made one error this year for the Cubs so far.
Yes, one error at third base. So,
and although he appears to be coming down to earth batting wise, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, you know how it is. You go around the league, and then they get an idea of who you are. So, you know, it's just how that kind of works out. But, I mean, his numbers are really respectable for a bench guy. I mean, you know, you're looking at .267, you know, with the six homers, and two of those homers were huge.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, he's definitely.
He got a big sack fly in that 2-1 victory over the Mets, too. Remember that one? I think it was in the seventh inning. It tied the game.
Yeah, I was probably in bed by the time that one happened. But so, yeah, it's gonna like we were talking about it a little bit. It's gonna be interesting to see how the Cubs shake out that playoff roster, and obviously it all kind of hinges on Chris Bryant's health.
Yes.
Once we see him finally get back, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they. You know, how they go about piecing it together because, you know, well, you know, I can't stand Tommy La Stella. I think they should have cut him when he had his temper tantrum and went home when he got sent down a couple years ago, but they hung on to him.
You're talking about Tommy La Stella. Sorry for interrupting, but I think that if Chris Bryant comes back healthy, I think La Stella will not be in the playoff roster. I think it will be Bodie instead.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's the decision. If Bryant is back and he's healthy, it's do you carry La Stella or do you carry Bodie? Will be the decision there. And, you know, I mean, I would rather see Bodie just because I like him better as a player. But, man, they seem to have this infatuation with Tommy La Stella, you know, keeping him around after all that BS. And I get it, he's left-handed and, you know, he's got some more experience, but, you know, you don't get experience if you're not given the opportunity to play in the playoffs.
True.
So,
but his power numbers are horrible this season, absolutely horrible.
Yeah, I didn't realize he didn't have a homer until I pulled his stats up here.
Yeah, yeah. His average is fairly decent. He's gone down a little bit. He's hitting around 270 or so. Or maybe a little lower than that, but power.
264.
Yeah, 264, but he's a professional hitter. I mean, he's not going to embarrass you at the plate in a pinch-hitting role, that's for sure. and he probably makes more contact on a regular basis than Bodie would, but Bodie still has that punch in his bat.
Yeah, you know, LaStella has a good ratio. You know, it's 23 strikeouts and 148 official at-bats. So it's not bad. You know, he's right there. And he does have 15 walks, so his numbers are close. You know, but, yeah, you know, like I said, I don't understand the Tommy LaStella love. I've never really figured it out. But, you know, and I mean, playoff rosters can change from series to series, so we'll have
right,
to see how
true.
They work out.
But I'm sure he's probably one of the top pinch hitters in terms of total hits for the season in the league, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, and then if Chris Bryant isn't healthy, you know, they're both gonna make the playoff roster probably.
Yeah,
so
did Bryant was supposed to play in the first game of a doubleheader yesterday? I didn't check the stats, but did he play? And is he still experiencing soreness? Not pain in the shoulder, but baseball soreness after not having played for a month or so.
So, yeah, you know, I didn't see if he was in the lineup there. Let's see if I can get it to come up here. Do you know how many games he's played so far? Did he just appear in one?
No, he played in two for sure, and because I know he got a hit the second game.
It does look like they've got him for three games in Iowa now. That's where he is.
Right.
So he's played in three games, so I'm guessing he did play last night. He's looks like he's 2-for-8 in Iowa so far.
Well, as we both know, that's a 250 average.
Yes.
But, of course, limited appearances. Is he in shape, and will he be activated over the weekend? I don't know if there's any announcements yet.
Yeah, no, you know, my guess is if they activate him, it'll be Sunday when it's September 1st.
Right.
So, again, they don't have that roster move. Because, I mean, you know, how ridiculous would it be? You know, say they activate him today or tomorrow, you would have to send a guy down, which probably would be Bodie because he's one of the guys with options. He would go down for a day, and he would have to turn around. He probably wouldn't even leave the team. But,
yeah,
you know, technically
yeah.
He'd be just turn around and come right back. So, yeah, my guess is if Bryant's ready, they just activate him Sunday.
Saturday is September 1st, correct? So they could do it Saturday.
Saturday, September 1st. I had my dates wrong there. So,
well,
so
that
yeah,
makes sense.
Could,
to
you know,
me.
That,
your idea has a lot of merit. I think it makes a lot of sense to, if they activate him and he's feeling okay physically, they would do it on a Saturday.
So yeah, I'm looking to see if there's any kind of, you know, there's no real updates or anything. They do say here, it looks like he may rejoin for the start of the Philly series, which is tomorrow.
Right.
Again, I don't see that happening. Maybe Saturday. It wouldn't make, you know, again, it doesn't make sense to me for, you know, why are we going to do this for one day? So.
Right. You might as well wait till September 1st, like you suggest.
You know, and then we still got Addison Russell. You know, he's got the sprained finger on his left hand, and they don't have a timetable for him here for any type of return. So
right.
Who knows what's going on with him.
And I'm glad you brought up Addison Russell. I was thinking about this. I wanted to get your opinion on this. And you think he's done with the Cubs, assuming they can continue to sign our new second baseman, Murphy? He may be done now. That may be it for him.
You have to wonder. You know, I mean, the tough part is the fact that he's just 24, and
yeah.
You know, you would almost hate to see them, you know, send him off at that age, because obviously he's still got a lot of, you know, growing and maturing to do as a player. You know, and he's a fantastic defender. Just the offense
hasn't
really kind of matured here. So I don't know, you know, how much. I know Murphy's been a, you know, a really good player, but I don't know how much interest there is in bringing him back. You know, because you get these guys like Russell and Baez and even, you know, Bryant, you know, Schwarber, you know, they're not on any kind of deals. You know, they're not even arbitration eligible yet.
No, no.
So, you know, a really low money team, and I don't know, you know, if they would want to add, because, you know, Murphy's going to want a lot of money, and what is he now? He's 30, what?
33. I think he's 33, correct? Is
yeah.
he 33?
So, yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask
so,
you,
yeah,
that's a good point. Is his contract up after this season? Is Murphy's
yes,
contract
yeah,
up?
Yeah.
Okay. So
last year.
If they want to turn around and re-sign him, he's going to ask for the big bucks, obviously.
Yeah. So, yeah, because he got a pretty good deal to go to Washington back in the day. You know, he got 3 years, and it was at the time it was $37.5 million. You know, which was a big deal then. Now, I mean, you know, you see a guy making that and, you know, you're kind of like, yeah, okay, that's a hell of a deal. So, but yeah, he is getting 17.5 this year. So the contract did escalate. So, you know, we'll just have to see if, you know, and again, you know, he's another guy, you know, you mentioned professional hitter when you were talking about LaStella, you know, that's kind of Murphy, you know, I mean,
yeah.
He's a 300 career hitter. You know, he just kind of does everything really good at the plate. I mean, he has good power, not great power, but, you know, he doesn't strike out and
no,
he hits.
No. And
but he's a poor defender.
It would be really tough to see him leave and they couldn't work out some kind of a deal for next season, because assuming his bat speed remains intact over the next couple of years, that would be an awful potent lineup with him in there, along with Baez and Brian, a healthy Brian and Rizzo.
So, yeah, well, you know, and I mean, you know, the deciding factor may also be, you know, maybe if Ben Zobrist decides to retire, you know, because he's 37 and in the last
yeah.
year of his deal, you know, maybe
True.
If Zobrist decides just to pack it in, Murphy is the guy that, you know, they plug in. Obviously, he doesn't fill the same role as Zobrist. Because I don't believe he can play the outfield, but he can play first, second, and third. You know, and they have enough versatility with the other guys to bounce guys around like Madden likes to do. So, you know, maybe that's an option, but, you know, I don't know. I know, you know, Zobrist is another guy I know they love, and he's paying dividends this year. He's hitting .312. You know, he's not a great power hitter, but that's no surprise. He's only got 9 home runs. So, you know, we'll – you know, it'll be an interesting offseason to see how
yeah.
they kind of shake
yeah,
it,
sure.
shake things out.
But he certainly has bounced back tremendously from the previously, from last year, where he was injured quite a bit and had a very down year, but he's really turned it around for this season.
Yeah, well, you know, like the big plus that I like is, you know, he struck out 51 times, but he's walked 48. So, you know, he's right there with the numbers. There's no... you know, big difference like some guys have. You know, like I'm looking at Ian Hop here, who struck out 141 times and only walked 59.
Yeah, he's been pretty disappointing lately. I mean, this strikeout rate is really bad. And Schwarber has not looked good lately either. His average is below 240
now.
No,
I don't know. Schwarber has plummeted so much. You know, obviously the power's there. It's always going to be there. But 238, he needs to be better than
I would settle for 260 any time, wouldn't you? You know, keeping those power numbers
intact.
Yeah,
this is a guy, remember, they were talking, this guy is a perennial 40 home run a season hitter. And it just, you know, I for whatever reason, it just hasn't accumulated for him, or, you know, however you want to look at it. I don't know, you know, what the issues are or how it's worked out, but. Yeah, he's not getting. He's got 24 now. He's not getting to 40 this year unless he goes on a rampage.
Right.
So.
And of course, as you well know, all those home runs have come from right-handed pitchers. So
yeah.
He gets a lot of trouble with lefties.
So, you know, but yeah, that's, you know, that's one of those things he'll, you know, you would like to see them, you know, work on. You know, I'm beginning to question what coaches actually do for, you know, players.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like,
you know,
they've done much in terms of hitting, improving their hitting.
No, hitting
at all.
You know, been over that. So, you know, just, you know, just one of those things. So, you know, it will be, you know, it'll be interesting. But, you know, this team as a whole, you know, as these guys start to move through and, you know, get to their arbitration years and stuff. It's going to be interesting to see how they, you know, they keep the team together. But, you know, like going into this offseason, you know, they're not going to have a ton of free agents. You know, we mentioned Murphy. Your favorite reliever, Justin Wilson, will be a free agent. So will Jesse Chavez. And that Anthony Bass, who's been up and down a few times, will also hit free agency.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of to kind of chase after.
Of course, Wilson has improved lately. Finally, seems like he's doing better.
About time. So, you know.
Right,
just...
right. And of course, the Cubs will be looking for a new manager too, right, based on those rumors I've been reading the last few days.
Yeah, you know, that was, and I don't know how that got started, but yeah, they had, you know, somewhat had said that if the Cubs don't make a, you know, a playoff run, that
a deep playoff run.
Yeah. I don't know how deep can you go. I mean, does that mean they got to get to the World Series? So
I think of either that or the at least once another NLCS at least to do better than they did the previous year.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, that's kind of, I don't really see them making a change unless you're going to tell me they're getting somebody better. And I, you know, I'm not really sure, you know, who that is. I mean, would Joe Girardi take this job? He was the first name that popped to mind. He's about the only guy I would consider, you know, on par to being better. So...
yeah, there was some other interesting speculation that he would move to that Madden would move to the South Side, which would be kind of amusing if that happened because Ricky would be out of a job. Ricky would be out of a job again after a rebuild.
So yeah, that would be kind of humorous if it was Madden who bumped him out of the job there. But it's weird. I've never been a huge Joe Madden fan, but he gets results, and he seems to kind of fit with this kind of new style player where you need to be hipper and cooler, and not everything is ultra competitive like it used to be. And I just wonder, you know, like if the clubhouse could handle a culture change like that, you know, like if they brought in a Girardi who, you know, is a hard-ass, hard-nosed manager.
Yes, he is.
I don't know how that would go over with a team like this. You know, you need, you know, kind of a, you know, basically a guy who's, you know, hip and cool and with it or however you want to look at it, whichever term you want to use, and can kind of relate to these, you know, younger guys who, you know, don't play the game like it used to be played.
Right. Well, with all the speculation, I really don't seriously see a change being made. Even if the Cubs are eliminated in the postseason in the National League playoffs, I think that he's proven himself. Look at the record they've had over the last 4 years, total wins and losses and playoff appearances, and it's never happened before. And granted, he has a lot of tools that they were able to get some great players to play for him, but we've all seen that some top managers don't always get the results, even though they have a strong team.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, that was one of the, you know, one of the reasons, you know, the Nationals had won, what was it? It was like 4 out of 5 National League East titles, and, you know, Dusty got them there a couple times in a row, but they went a different way because they thought they needed a younger guy who could relate to, you know, a guy like Bryce Harper, because obviously they want to keep him there.
I was thinking about that the other day, and maybe as long as we're talking about it, do you think Martinez is one and done as a manager for Washington after this season?
You know, I'm undecided on that. You know, we've talked about that a couple times here, and I'm just not sure, you know, where they're going to go or how they're going to look at it. I mean, but, you know, you got a guy who was given all the tools to succeed, and he didn't.
No, that's
so
correct.
You know,
I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of them. because by far they're the biggest disappointment in Major League Baseball this season, without question.
Easily. I don't even know. You know, there's not even a team close to them.
No.
You know, as far as disappointment goes, I mean, it's, you know, they're the top five most disappointing teams in baseball this year.
That's why I think he may be done after this season. It would not surprise me.
They had their share of injuries, but so does everybody else. Every team goes through it. Some cases it's worse than others. I mean, like if you're a pitcher for the San Francisco Giants, you just naturally assume you're going to get hurt. I get it. You know, it's not all the manager's fault. I mean, Bryce Harper does have 30 home runs, but he's hitting .247. So, you know, I mean, he hasn't had the best of years. Steven Strasburg's been in and out of the rotation again. And even when he's in, his ERA is .415. So it's not like he's been mowing guys down. They went out and pieced together what looked like a fantastic bullpen, and then they all got hurt.
Yeah, it's been a lot of injuries for sure. But no one would expect them to be buried in third place in that division. Yeah. They're just almost inconceivable.
Yeah.
And it looks like they pulled the plug.
You look at it, I mean, they missed on some things. You know, Pedro Severino was a big-time catching prospect. He's hit .171 at the major league level this year when they've given him the opportunities. Again, he's just 24, so you do wonder if he's going to come around. But Juan Soto was huge. Nobody was expecting him to do it at 19. But, you know, we've been waiting for Michael Taylor to be a player for I don't know how many years now, and even so, you know, he's 27 now. He's still hitting .228, and he's struck out almost 100 more times than he's walked. So how much longer do you wait on this guy?
Yeah. The opportunity is going past him, and like you say, how patient can you be?
The other things, you know, Matt Wieters looked like a great free agent signing. They got a fantastic deal on him. You know, he was coming off some injuries with the Orioles, but he looked healthy. He looked like he was back on track, and he's just stunk since putting on a Nationals uniform.
Horrible, absolutely horrible.
He was a big time guy that everybody wanted. You know, because he was, you know, he's big time catcher, switch hitter. You know, these are the kind of guys you look for, and for whatever reason, he just hasn't hit in Washington. So
it's been a big disappointment.
But yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the team and you just kind of wonder. I mean, obviously Harper's having a down year, but you know, he's a very good player. Anthony Rendon's been their best player. You know, he's putting up his numbers. Trey Turner's done okay. He's not having a great year. You know, Zimmerman was dinged up. Adam Eaton, when he's healthy, you know, he seems to do all right. He's hitting .300, but he's only played in 72 games because he can't stay healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
We knew that from, you know, his years with the White Sox. That's kind of
the
thing. So,
I did expect more from Turner than what he's delivered.
Yeah. And, you know, you do wonder, again, a guy who's just 25, you know, I know he had a really good year last year, so maybe this is just a down year and he'll go back up next year. There's no real answers. And then, I mean, you had Murphy plugged in, who was finally getting his groove right before they traded him, because he struggled coming off the disabled list for quite a while. And, yeah, it just didn't work out. And you wonder why. I mean, it's a lot of talent, you know, not only in the lineup, but, you know, you're looking at Scherzer and Strasburg back-to-back with, you know, Gio Gonzalez, who's a really good, you know, middle-of-the-rotation pitcher. And Tanner Roark, you know, the same thing. They're really good 3 and 4 guys. And, yeah, it for whatever reason, it just fell apart.
Yeah, it's really something that they've gone as far as they have, down the tank this year. And are they back to .500 again? Or I don't know, they're floating in and out.
They're 67-67 heading into tonight. I think they play tonight. So,
right.
you know, but yeah, because like it was weird, you know, they went out, you know, and they made that big move and they grabbed Kelvin Herrera from the Royals. And I was like, oh, okay, great. You know, this is fantastic. Big time closer, has been a setup guy on a World Series winning team. Just what the bullpen needed. Well, you know, he's been on the DL twice and now he's done for the season because he tore that ligament or whatever in his foot. So it's like, well, great. That's, you know, just what we needed.
Yeah, they've been hit with the injury bug, but every team is hit with the injury bug. Look at the Mets. I mean, they historically, the last few years, they look like they have a decent team on paper, but the injuries are just insurmountable for them.
So, yeah, you know, and it's just, you know, just those weird things like that that, you know, seem to happen through the year, you know, bad timing or whatever it is. But I do wonder if, you know, like if Harper doesn't re-sign, you know, I think it's time to move on from, like, the Ryan Zimmermans and the Matt Wieters and kind of, you know, get some of these old – let some of these older guys, these guys in their 30s, kind of move along and just – you know, fill that lineup up. You know, they've been talking about this prospect, Victor Robles, for 3 years. Sooner or later, you got to find out if the kid can play. You know, maybe it's time to take a look at him.
Yeah, they may have to go through a rebuild, a mini rebuild. It won't be a big rebuild like the White Sox, but certainly they might be headed in that direction.
Right. Well, you know, if Harper goes away, you're going to have money to spend. You know, so you could go out and look at some of the top free agents. You know, maybe you add a third starter. You know, that would be a real big plus to your rotation. You know, or maybe, you know, maybe the Mets are serious about dealing DeGrom or Syndergaard come the off season. You know, I damn well know if either of those guys are available. I'm making that call. I want to know what they want to add one of those two to my rotation.
Yeah, that would be nice to get, wouldn't it?
Hell, I'd take them both.
Yeah, I'm not sure how serious the Mets are in guys being available for trade in the off season.
Yeah, well, you know, I did hear when they were talking at the trade deadline that they were asking quite a bit for DeGrom, which, you know, they should. You know, I mean, we're talking about a guy who follows, what is he here? He's DeGrom is 30. You know, and obviously, you know, he is only 8-8, but that ERA is 1.68. You know, and I know they're trying harder to give him the Cy Young. I don't think he's going to get it, but they're trying real hard on the MLB Network to make sure he wins the award. I just don't know if they have enough votes to get it for him.
Well, you know, they're always kind of East Coast biased anyway, New York biased.
Plus Mike Trout. So.
Yeah, plus Mike Trout, right.
But, yeah, you know, I didn't really understand what the Mets were doing this year when they went out and, you know, like they brought back Jay Bruce. And I understand you throw Todd Frazier in because you got him on a good deal. But, you know, they had some prospects that I don't understand why, you know, they didn't play. And then by bringing Bruce back, you know, they froze Brandon Nimmo out until Cespedes got hurt, which pretty much was the majority of the year.
Yeah.
So, you know, they did some stuff that just seemed really stupid, and they took at bats away from kids who needed at bats. And, you know, I mean, I know they got off to that great start, but eventually, it, you know, things caught up to them. So,
right, it did. Yeah, and Bruce Irving has a disappointing batting average. I'm sure he's pretty low, if I remember correctly.
He's terrible. Yeah, he's .221, and I know he's been hurt. He's only played in 68 games.
And Frazier is Frazier. Yeah. He's got a lot of power, but his average is what, around .230 or so, maybe even less than that.
You know, he's about where he is. You know, and I mean, you know what you're going to get when you're signing Todd Frazier. He needs to be in the right order to work what he does. And you know, the Mets just aren't it. You can't surround him with the guys he needs to be successful here. Because you know, in reality, he should be a 30-plus homer guy. But there's, you know, there's no reason for them to really kind of go after him like that here. So,
it was a strange acquisition. I just didn't really see it doing much for them.
Then we don't even know if Cespedes is going to play next year now with that injury. So, you know, they're going to have to deal with that right off the start. You know, they gave Bruce a, I believe they gave him a multi-year deal. Let me see how many years he signed here for.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
he signed for
two more years after this. So they're going to have to figure something out there with him, unless they can deal him again. But you know, you're not getting anything for him after the year he's had.
No. It's a shame about Cespedes. Now I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I knew it was a serious injury, but I didn't think it was a possibility of him missing next year as well.
So yeah, they said the rehab was going to be 8 to 10 months. So, you know, I mean, you're looking at, you know, he's not going to be back till, you know, June of next year, maybe July.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then obviously it's going to take him some time to get ready because,
sure,
you know, it's both his heels, so it's not like he's going to be able to stay in shape. So.
Certain players, for some reason, are injury prone. I don't know. It just seems like the pattern just is there, and it never seems to go away from them. I think Pujols is done. I think Pujols is done for the year now too, right?
Yeah. They announced that today that he is having knee surgery, and he will be finished for the year. So they will. All the sabermetric guys will get to crap all over him like they like to do, because you know he's the worst sabermetric player in baseball. So,
you know, he's not a youngster anymore. I mean, is he done? I mean, maybe.
Well, probably not, because he's got 3 years left on that contract with a lot of money.
Right.
But you wonder. You know, he's 38. I mean, you know, he's in the American League, so he can always DH. So.
Yeah, I know he just did a long-term contract, but sure about there could be. I'm sure there's a buyout, some kind of a buyout they could do.
Yeah. You know, I don't think he had a buyout when he got his.
Is that right?
I can pull it up here and check it out. Let me get down and find his contract terms. There's no buyout in his deal. He will make. Here you go. $28 million next year, $29 million in 2020, and $30 million in the last year of his contract. Then he has a 10-year, $10 million personal service contract that begins once the player contract expires.
Not a shabby deal, huh?
No. He was who's his agent here? Let me see who is his agent here. He is represented by MVP Sports Group, and they definitely were MVPs when it comes to negotiating his deal.
All right, and how old is he right now? Is he 38.
Yeah, he'll be 39 in January.
Well, it's hard to blame him for not being loyal to the Cardinals when he signed that kind of a deal, huh?
Well, you know, St. Louis didn't want him. You know, they had no interest in bringing him back.
No. And
so
he was a heck of a player in his prime, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, he was. I mean, you know, you're looking at a guy who's going to be a Hall of Famer. You know, I mean, with the numbers he's got and everything, it's just sad that, you know, the sabermetric guys jump all over him like they do. You know, because, I mean, you know, his average is down, but, like, last year he drove in 101 runs. So, obviously, you know, he's still capable of getting guys in.
Yeah.
So, I don't get it. But, you know, for some reason they hate him. And even this year, you know, he had 64 runs driven in, so he was going to get close to 100 again this year.
Yeah, he would have, sure.
So,
yeah, not,
but, you know, again,
not
you
all know, that, I myself am not all that enamored with sabermetrics. I don't know about you, but I think I don't pay too much attention to it like some others do.
No,
they're fanatical about
it. Well, you know, the thing that kills me is like when they come out with stupid stuff like, you know, RBIs don't matter, because it's, you know, like I heard somebody describe it the other day as they're really, you're just lucky to get RBIs. And I'm like, how are you lucky getting a hit with a man on, you know, third with two outs to drive him in? I mean, you're lucky that the guy was on third base? Is that what you're trying to imply? But
yeah,
you still have to get the hit.
That's right. There are certain players who are clutch hitters. Forget about sabermetrics. And that to me has always been a critical aspect of a great player, the ability to come through with men on base, maybe even with two outs, especially with two outs. And you don't
Right, the thing that sabermetrics has never been able to show me is find me a truly underrated player. Like, I don't need sabermetrics to know that Mike Trout is a great player. You know, I don't need that stuff. You know, that's not telling me anything. I can see that just by watching a game that Mike Trout is a great player. You know, find me a guy who's under the radar that nobody knows about, but all your little stats point to him being the guy. And they, you know, they can't do it. They've never said, hey, you know.
Have they ever got one or two guys that were under the radar and actually turned out to be what they thought they would be?
You know, I'm sure somewhere down the line, but, you know, like one of the things I heard at the beginning of the year was, well, you know, this is it. Paul Goldschmidt's done. He's having a bad year, you know, because he was terrible the first month of the season.
Yep.
No, I get it. He
yeah.
strikes a ton, but nobody cares about that. He's at 290 now with 30 home runs. So maybe we shouldn't have wrote him off after a month of the season?
I'm wondering if, this, in addition to Goldschmidt, people were writing off Rizzo, too, because he had a very slow start.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure he was, you know, one of those guys, too.
Because he was really bad for the first couple of months of the season, and now he's over 280 and can hit close to 100 RBIs again and got his home runs, and he looks like a completely different hitter up there.
So, yeah, and that's just one of those, kind of odd things that they just haven't proven to me that they can do that yet. And, you know, like the other thing is, you know, batting average no longer matters. Well, man, I'll take a guy hitting 340 who's playing every day like Mookie Betts. I don't know why his average doesn't matter. I mean, he's getting on 35% of the time. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
or 34, technically.
I think these guys can get a little bit too esoteric sometimes when in terms of their statistics, because I'll take a guy hitting 340 anytime.
Yeah.
Even a single hitter Pete Rose.
Some of the players like, you know, Goose Gossage, and I know he went about it the wrong way, and some of the other guys who have expressed it, you know, sabermetrics was a way to get the guys who were non-athletic and could never play the game into the game. Because, you know, all these guys with these numbers that are running out there are, you know, they never had any talent. They probably sat the bench on their little league teams, but they were smart. So, you know, they've got all these things they come up with. And, you know, people forget, you know, the guy who started this out was Bill James, and I believe he was a janitor. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
I believe when he started doing all that stuff, he was working full-time as a janitor, and it gave him the free time to look into all the numbers and stuff.
Oh, that's an interesting piece of trivia.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not positive on that, but I think I heard that somewhere, you know, somewhere down the line. But, yeah, you know, it's just kind of weird. and the big thing now is they're pushing the fact that, you know, just because a guy is on a bad team doesn't mean he can't win the MVP award. And now that's all strategic because they all want to vote for Mike Trout and his team sucks. So, you know, because, I mean, what's weird is Trout is the guy they always bring up when they reference that. And, I mean, the guy's having a great year. You know, he's 311. He's got 31 homers. He's actually walked 103 times and only struck out 102. But what I don't think they realize they roped themselves into, and it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, is Suarez from the Reds is having a really good year. You know, he hit his 30th homer the other night. He's got 95 RBIs. He's hitting 295. Now, he's got MVP numbers. You damn well know he's not getting any votes in the National League because he plays for the Reds.
Right. I will tell you that there have been some instances in which there have been MVPs who have played for a non-contending team.
Oh, yeah. Ernie Banks won, what, two?
Yes. Of course, I think he had around 140 RBIs that year, if I remember correctly.
Dawson won one when the Cubs were in last place. I know A-Rod won one with the Rangers when they were in last place. But, you know, we're talking about guys who had phenomenal above-the-number seasons, and Trout's not having that. You know, he's having a good year, but he's not having a great year. So.
But you know they're going to try to get him that award, and I wouldn't be surprised if he got it, despite the fact that he's playing for a team that's not contending.
They randomly mentioned it the other day while they were having a conversation. They asked one of the guys on the panel where they had Mike Trout in his MVP voting. And I was like, well, I don't really even have him in my top five. Maybe he's five? Because, you know, I was just kind of casually looking at it, and you've got to have Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez ahead of him.
Of course.
You know, I mean, there's almost, you know, no issue there. And you have to think with the way the Indians have played, you got to have Jose Ramirez ahead of them.
Sure.
So maybe, you know, and like for me, I would take a guy like Alex Bregman over him because he really carried the Astros while all those guys were hurt. You know, I mean, obviously his numbers are right there as well. And then maybe Trout is my fifth guy just because he didn't carry a team like Bregman did when a bunch of guys were injured. So, yeah, I would probably have him number five on my ballot.
That seems realistic. But I'm wondering that you think that the MLB Network is a factor in the determination of who the MVP is because of the discussion.
Yeah. Well, that and, you know, Ken Rosenthal is one of their analysts, and he actually has a vote. So he's a big-time cheerleader for that, and you know, obviously it gets out there and these other guys hear it. And, you know, a lot of these guys don't take their ballots very seriously. They just kind of do with, you know, what they heard. Oh, yeah, okay, well, I'll put Mike Trout on top of my ballot because they said he was this, you know, or that. So
you hate to see that. You would hate to see that happen. And really, you want to see someone voted in on merit.
Right.
And he's a great player, but I have to agree with you. I don't think he's number one, maybe – 5, 6. There are just too many ahead of him.
You know, I could see, okay, if you squeeze him in at 4, you know, I'll give you that. But I'm not putting him ahead of Betts, Martinez, or Ramirez because you got three guys having great years on winning teams, and that's why these teams are winning.
Yeah, you often wonder why they start hyping a certain player. You think it's because they're in a major market, New York, Los Angeles, as compared to some of the other markets.
Well, for whatever reason, and I don't know why they decided this, to be the face of baseball. You know, I mean, every sport kind of has that one guy. And, I mean, he probably is the most talented guy, so it makes sense. But, you know, he's kind of shied away from the media attention. You know, he doesn't ton of commercials, you know, stuff like that. He just kind of plays the game and roots for the Eagles and, you know, in the NFL. So, you know, but they want to, you know, they want to shove him, you know, down their throat. And, you know, I don't know why, you know, I don't know what made the decision there, but that's what they chose and that's what they're going to do. And, you know, like for me, it's just kind of turned me off on him. I know he's a great player, but I just get sick of hearing about him when, you know, we got all these other guys doing so many great things.
Right.
But it's like, oh, well, what did Mike Trout do this year or tonight?
In terms of the face of baseball, I thought they were kind of also leaning towards possibly Bryce Harper. Of course, he is having a down season. But
so, yeah, and you know, I mean, they would love for it to be – you know, if they had it their way, Harper and Trout would meet in the World Series every year. But I, you know, neither one of them has been there. You know, at least Harper's been in the playoffs a little bit. I think Trout's made one trip.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, they get fixated on these guys and think that they're the face of baseball, and they are talented players, no question about it. But are they the talented player, the one that's deserving of an MVP? In both cases, obviously not, especially not this year.
Yeah, no, you know, I mean, I'm sure Trout will win plenty of them, but you know, and you know, you've got to, again, you know, you've got to define valuable for me. You know, what are you grading this out on? I mean, are you just taking the sabermetric stats because Trout is the WAR leader, which is a stat that can actually be manipulated? It's not done on set numbers. You can kind of tweak the numbers to get the results you want. You know, is that how you're making your votes? Or, you know, I mean, you like the fact that he's got a big-time OPS. You know, I think he's got the highest in the league. Okay, that's one category. So, I don't know.
Yeah, there's some intangibles that I think that they don't take in consideration. The will to win. As we talked about, the clutch hitting. The ability to impact the result of a game. And even the ability to get your team into the playoffs when you're kind of on the bubble of being a playoff team.
That brings me to a guy like Chris Davis with the A's. I know he's not going to win it because he's only hitting .250, but man, you know, he's got 39 bombs and he's been clutch for them. You know, the guy deserves to be on your ballots. Again, he's not going to win it. You know, there's no way he's the MVP. But if you look at what he's done MVP things, and he's on his way to 40 homers.
Yeah, certainly he should be in the mix, but he probably won't be, like you said.
Right, yeah, you know, I mean, he's 5, 6, 7. I mean, he's in the top 10, but he's not winning it.
No.
You know, but that's when I was really impressed with Bregman, you know, who's another guy who's not going to win it, but, man, he was so big for the Astros. Just keeping them where they are. I mean, if he would have scuffled, you know, they had Altuve, Correa, and Springer all on the DL, probably their top three guys with Bregman right behind them. And he really, you know, saved their bacon to, you know, not swear on the air here, you know, with
right.
what he did, keeping them in games and being clutch. And, you know, I mean, he actually moved over and played some short while Correa was out. So.
Right in there. And their league was in jeopardy, and I think that they might be in second place now without him, because their lead is only a couple of games over Oakland right now, and if he wasn't doing the things he's been doing, they might be in second place, and Oakland might be in first place.
Yeah. So, but you know, it's weird because like I haven't heard a ton of talk about like that. You know, like that's something that would very much interest me in an MVP. You know, this is kind of what this guy did. You know, and I mean, that's why I'm convinced Biden is going to win it in the National League this year, as long as his numbers stay consistent. You know, he's easily been the most important player for a team.
Well, of course.
So, you know, he deserves, you know, as of right now in the National League, he deserves to win the award. I mean, obviously, we've got about a month for, you know, things to shake out. And, you know, if he was to go into a horrible slump or, you know, a guy like, I don't know, Nolan Arenado got super hot. I could see him, you know, sneaking in and taking the award.
Yeah,
you know,
don't want to see him
like
get
that.
Into a slump at the wrong time, but he still does revert to his old form on occasion, and that always bothers me. I mean, and
yeah,
think that
you know, and I think that sadly we're all going to have to deal with, isn't it?
Right, right. And the other day he didn't look too good striking out. Sometimes he gets a little too anxious, but he can't fault what his numbers are, that's for sure. No one expected this when the season started would be doing this well.
You know, and then
especially
to be a guy who's playing, you know, multi positions like he does and still produce, that's huge.
Plus the stolen bases. Don't forget the stolen bases, too, and the other.
Although
he has committed a fair number of errors.
Yeah. But I don't think they look at that when it comes to MVP talk, do they?
No, probably not.
You know,
probably
when does defense really ever come into form at any point now when they're talking about, you know, baseball?
Well, it might with him because of some of the spectacular plays he's made on defense this year that always seem to make the highlight reels on some of the shows on MLB for sure. He has done a lot of phenomenal things.
So, you know, and of course, you know, if Christian Yelich continues to go 6-for-6 in games, we may have to reconsider and give the award to him, you know, as long as the Brewers kind of stay in the race there. But I believe he was 0-for-4 today. But he did drive in a run. though.
But he certainly has been a valuable addition for the Brewers and Kane also.
Yeah, both their outfield ads have really came through for them. They were, well, Yelich was a trade, and then Kane was the free agent signing. So,
right.
You know, they both look really good for them.
Yeah, their acquisitions have turned out. They didn't always turn out that way. It doesn't always work that well, as we discussed earlier in the show, that some of these acquisitions don't seem to turn out the way they would hope they would. But both of these guys have done the job for the Brewers.
As we remember that the Cubs signed Yu Darvish in the offseason. I mean, yeah.
Who?
So.
Who's that? Never heard of him. You know, when you talk about Yu Darvish, did you see where Arrieta got hammered again the other day, lasted maybe two or three innings, and that was it, and just horrible performance again. So even though his ERA is still pretty decent, he's not the pitcher he was 3 years ago.
Yeah, well, you know, I do wonder how much missing spring training is affecting him.
Yeah,
you know, because none of those guys he's been the best of the guys who missed spring training. So you just kind of wonder, you know, how big of an effect that actually had on these guys. So, I'm guessing, you know, if the Phillies get into the playoffs, he'll be, you know, probably be a little more valuable for them then, because they, you know, they obviously don't have a ton of playoff experience.
Right, and right now, the strong young team seems to be Atlanta. They look like a really solid team to me. They're young and they're exciting. Hey, by the way, don't the Cubs play them tonight? It's a one-game series.
Yes, they do. It's
a one-game
makeup
series,
game.
Right? Yes, a makeup game. And they're still three games behind the Cubs, and three games or so behind both the Cardinals and the Brewers. Well, when are they ever going to catch up? I don't know. It's got to happen eventually.
Pretty soon, yeah. Got to work out. Yeah, here, Arrieta lasted three innings. Actually, last night against the Nationals, gave up four runs on four hits, walked three, struck out three, gave up two home runs. But the interesting thing is Philadelphia came back and won that game 8-6.
Yeah, they did. They did. That's a big win for them because they're still, three games behind Atlanta, roughly?
I believe, just about, you know, depending on how, you know, things kind of shake out with that. I think they've got to be three games behind Atlanta and then just a little bit out in the wild card, right?
Right.
Milwaukee's probably
behind St. Louis, I would think, for sure.
Well, St. Louis and Milwaukee are tied for the wild card spot. So obviously, they have both wild card spots. They're chasing whoever's there with, you know, Colorado and L.A. and all the other teams that are, you know, that are kind of floating around there in the National League. I mean, it's going to be quite a race to the finish here.
The Cubs are going to have a handful over the weekend, aren't they? Atlanta, now three with Philadelphia.
Yeah,
it won't be easy.
It looks like it. Here's what we got. The Brewers and the Cardinals are tied. The Rockies are a game and a half out. The Dodgers are two out, and the Phillies are three out in the wild card. So,
very important for these teams to keep winning.
Yeah, it's going to be really
the season.
Yeah, really, you know, really big. And, you know, like I know we emailed, the American League can be decided tonight, you know, through the weekend. If, you know, if Oakland beats Seattle 4-4 or sweeps that series, I think the American League is done, and we know who the playoffs are. So.
Yeah, it's we're done.
Over it.